Welcome to the Motivate Your Child Action Plan, Session 7. It's in this session that we're going to talk specifically about the teaching component. You know, it's amazing to me how many parents emphasize the what. You need to stop complaining, or you need to stop being annoying to your sister, without talking about how. And it's within this particular ingredient or component in the plan that great things happen. If we can spend a little bit of time talking about how with our kids, it often opens up new windows for them to change their behavior.
I think this is one of the weaknesses of a behavior modification system, giving a consequence for doing the wrong thing without equipping the child with the tools to do the right thing. There may be some general sense of what I should be doing instead, but it's the how to get there. How do I really respond differently, change my heart, change my thinking patterns? How do I respond to that annoying sister with kindness? How do I respond with a good attitude when being interrupted on the computer? These are difficult questions children need to just figure out on their own sometimes. But we would suggest as parents, the most helpful is to talk about the how. Talk about how do you do that differently in a way that your response is different. So equipping children with the how, that's the teaching component of the plan, I think is just critical to helping children move forward.
And it's surprising when parents do this, what results it has. I think some parents assume that their kids know how, but it's rarely the case. If they knew how, they might make some changes. Now, it's not only the how that determines right behavior. There has to be the willingness to do the right thing. But often when given the solutions that are more appropriate, the actual what do I do in this situation kinds of answers to children, they make different choices. When you say to a child, you know, you're right, your sister is annoying. Let's talk about how might be best to relate to her instead of just yelling at her or slapping her. Let's look for ways that can help make some good changes here and have some good responses on your behalf. If we can help children know exactly what to do in tangible ways, this is what you do when she starts pestering you. This is exactly what you do. When kids know that, then sometimes it frees them up to try some different techniques or some different ideas and eventually develop some new good habits.
And I think this teaching component is particularly valuable and powerful when the child helps to develop that plan. How can you remember to put your homework in your backpack every morning? What are some signals that can remind you to straighten up your room before you leave your room in the morning? If we can help our children develop their own strategies for doing the things they need to do, I think that's just so powerful in empowering the child. We want to have these discussions to raise the awareness level, but then do some brainstorming together. What's a better plan? The plan you're using isn't working. Let's develop a new plan. And those discussions are very powerful in a child's life.
I've worked with a number of children doing exactly that. I just remember one family where I was talking to the family about doing better in the morning. And I talked to the two girls who were doing a lot of fighting in the morning, and they determined that they had an idea that they would try to work together to do some things. Just the asking the question was great. But then I said, how are you going to do that when your sister starts pestering you in a particular way? What are you going to do? We started brainstorming, and the girls had some good ideas about what they were going to do. They also had a goal in mind that they were going to finish 5 minutes early. And it was fun because the next day after we talked about it, I got a phone call from the five-year-old in my office in the morning while I was studying. Dr. Taransky, we did well this morning getting ready. I said, oh, you did? Did you have a blessing time at the end? They said, yeah, we had a blessing time. I said, great. Well, talk about what you did right, so that'll help you to do good next time too. So here what we're doing is helping children to know how to respond, and we talk about the specifics. What are you going to do that's going to make your morning time different tomorrow? Then children start focusing on something different. They start looking at some different techniques, and it helps them to move forward.
See, I think so often the challenges that our children face come at them almost unexpectedly. They don't have a plan. So they just react out of emotion. They react out of what comes most naturally. It doesn't go through their brain, their thought process necessarily. They just react to situations. But when we can step back and have discussions about the common areas of struggle, the arena, as we've called it, where they're struggling, where they're challenged. If we can have a plan to address the issues in that arena, then I think our children are better equipped. They're on the lookout for this particular problem. When it comes up, I have a plan for how to respond. It just makes all the difference in the world for a child to be successful when they have a plan, they're looking for their struggle areas, and they're ready to move forward.
I worked with a 14-year-old boy recently, and I said, what's your plan for dealing with your cell phone? If you want to have your cell phone back, what is your plan going to be? And he says, I have no idea. I said, well, let's talk about it. What are you going to do when your friends text you and use foul language, for example? What is your plan? What are you going to do when you're in a place and you have internet access and you're tempted to use internet access to go to a place that isn't appropriate? What is your plan? And it, when they actually developed that plan, that parents started feeling more confident in their son that he'd be able to handle the challenges that were faced. As they checked up on him, they were able to see that he was able to deal with the texting that was appropriate or inappropriate, that he was able to handle himself on websites or when he had internet access to do the right thing. And they felt more confident that they were able to trust their son. It was the how that moved them forward as they were trying to develop a plan for addressing electronics or cell phones with young teenagers.
I think sometimes parents don't even really think through the how, and we don't know what we're expecting of our children. We just don't like what's going on right now. And so it's helpful for parents as well to think through that. What do we want instead? What's the right response here? And then how are we going to get there? How can I equip my child with the tools and resources to be able to respond differently in life? Those are real important questions. Sometimes we just ask them in our own hearts. Sometimes we dialogue about them. But helping children understand not just that they need to stop a particular behavior, but what is the replacement behavior and how do I develop that as a pattern, as a skill in my life over time? Now that becomes very valuable as we're working to equip our children, helping them to develop the skills necessary, the new character, the new patterns in their life. We've got to be asking that question, how?
I had a challenging appointment recently where the child was being bullied at school or on the bus or somewhere. He was being bullied. And dad's approach was, you need to fight back and you need to stand up for yourself. And there was some conflict there between the young man and his dad, knowing exactly how to handle this. And so I acknowledge that, yes, one of the options is that you can stand up for yourself, fight back. That's one option that we have when bullied. But let's talk about the different options and which ones might be best for you to take. So we chose three different options that a child could take. One is to ignore the problem, and the second one is to confront, and the third is to get help. Now that gives a few more choices for the child. So the child could stand up for himself or confront the other child. Or he could get help, or maybe he just needs to ignore the problem. Any of those might work in a particular child's life. However, as is illustrated in the book, I told him, you've got to be able to ignore the problem without getting angry. You've got to be able to confront without being mean. You've got to be able to get help without tattling. Those are skills. How do you do that? And that became the essence of our dialogue for most of the session. How do you do that? What are you supposed to do in those challenging situations in order to bring about the maximum amount of change? Now, the boy's tendency was to ignore the problem, but maybe he needed to do more confronting, as dad was suggesting, or maybe he needed to get more help. Either way, this young man was getting some more ideas, and maybe dad's sharing of his one idea was helpful. Or maybe it was best to share it as a potential idea and give the child some other options as well. The point is, kids need to know how. What do they do in their specific situations to overcome the challenges that they face?
And I think it's helpful when parents have these brainstorming conversations with children. How can you respond to that differently? And then come back later on and debrief about how it went. It communicates a sense of coaching, partnership. Let's attack this problem together. Let's come up with some ideas, try them out, report back. It allows us as parents to have that camaraderie with our kids. Let's see how we can overcome those challenges that are out there. I'm on your side. I'm rooting for you. Let's see how it goes. And then report back and let's fine-tune the plan. So we're communicating a different attitude with our kids that I think is really helpful.
Because each child needs a specific plan or how-to for their situation, I think it's best to discipline children independently. Sometimes parents will come into the room when two children are fighting and try to discipline them together. Sometimes that's appropriate and helpful, but I would say that many times it's more appropriate and more helpful to separate children and work with them independently. And that's because each one of those children is dealing with an obnoxious child or a child that has particular selfish tendencies. And knowing how to relate specifically to that other child will require some unique strategies. Furthermore, each child is unique. And one child's solution might be good for that child. Another one might be better for a different child. So brainstorming with a child and talking about the solutions independently often produces better results. Furthermore, the parent can then partner with that child to encourage the child, move forward with some solutions, and then evaluate or reevaluate what happened. In each case, the individualized approach is often the best way to handle some of the unique challenges that children face.
I think this is so important when we're dealing with sibling conflict, when we're dealing with children who are having a hard time getting along with each other, to discipline them separately, to help them develop strategies for dealing with the other sibling, and then partnering with the parent for that so we can talk about it again. And how did it go with your sister? And did you try this approach? And what about that one? And we can help equip our children to deal with different personalities and different kinds of people. And, they might be able to use some techniques with their friends that don't work on their siblings or the other way around. So helping children see the uniqueness of each person they're dealing with and how to develop different strategies for different people, I think all is very equipping for children, helping them prepare them for life and the different personalities they'll deal with as they get older as well.
One of my favorite ways to address this or teach this to children is to use a T-chart. I say to a child, you need to have a plan for dealing with your anger or for cleaning up your room. We need to write down the plan. A written plan is often helpful. So I'm going to create a T-chart, and on the left-hand side, I'm going to put the child's name above it. And on the right-hand side, we'll put the word ideas. I say to parents, you may not write on the left-hand side. That's the child only can write there. If your child can't write, then you can only write what the child says to write on the left-hand side. That's the child's plan. So you're saying to the child, you need to think of three things or five things that you're going to do when you start to get angry. When the parent gives that kind of a directive and the child has a T-chart in front of him, then he has to fill in the blanks. What are you going to do? And he may have no idea. That's where the ideas come in on the right-hand side. Because the reality is that dads and moms have solutions of ways that they deal with their anger so that it doesn't get out of hand. They have ways to deal with their own messiness so that it doesn't get out of hand as well. And so parents can share ideas, brothers and sisters can share ideas, other people, leaders, grandparents, and so on can put things on the ideas side. But the child needs to choose which ones of those need to come over onto their plan that they're going to implement. Now they have a written plan, and when they're faced with the challenge of getting angry or a messy room, they have a solution that's written down in order to try to address that particular challenge.
Having those kind of plans, I think, is really helpful. Having it written down, fine-tuning it, coming back, adding some new things to it. I think we're illustrating for children, how do we solve problems in life? How do we come across some new ideas for dealing with particular challenges? Having that kind of a written plan for kids, helping them develop those strategies, is a way of thinking through a proper response to a particular challenge and then being ready for that challenge when it comes. Well, that kind of equipping is really going to help our children in life, not only in the particular current situation, but in all the situations where they're challenged, to be able to step back and brainstorm about possible solutions and then try them out.
You know, when kids get angry and they fail, to be able to go back and say, let's go back and look at the plan. Which one of the steps in the plan might you have been able to implement in this situation? Or if there's no solution in the plan, then maybe we need to add something to the plan to match this particular challenge that you faced. Those are great ways to get kids engaged thinking about what they are going to do next time. Having a T-chart is a great way to have a written plan, and it's often that the kids will keep that written plan somewhere in their room or somewhere handy so that when disciplined or when they have to pull back and think about their mistake, they can pull out their plan and reevaluate it, look at it, and look for some more solutions. Change doesn't happen quickly sometimes. It takes some time, and being able to go over and rehash the plan can help children to prepare for the next times of life.
And I think this just communicates a very helpful attitude we want our children to catch in life, is that when you made a mistake, what can we learn from it? How can we adjust the plan? How can we do this differently next time? So now the mistakes we make, the times that we fail, are just learning experiences helping us to move forward. Very important theme we want our children to pick up in life as we're disciplining them, as we're correcting them. We want to remember that to discipline means to teach. And so this teaching component is key for helping our children develop the strategies and the ways of reacting in life that are going to help them.
And you never know what's going to click with a child. It's often one idea that somehow grabs them, or a combination of two or three ideas, but you don't know which ones they are. So sometimes brainstorming with kids, putting them in situations where they're forced to develop the plan, all of that contributes to some new way of thinking. And often then something clicks, they change their hearts, their patterns start to change, new habits develop, and good things happen. So it's not just one meeting, bringing the child one idea, or saying, here, do the T-chart, or the T-chart isn't working. It's a matter of continually coming back to the problem, looking for solutions to move forward. All of that addresses the question, how? How are we going to address or face the challenges next time in order to be successful?
And so hopefully you're seeing how this is going to fit into a bigger plan. We've got some firmness, making life a little uncomfortable right now. We've got some visioning. This is where we need to be. This is where we're going. And now the teaching is going to be the equipping part, helping the child to move forward, to try some different strategies, to see what works, what doesn't work, keeping the child on that map, moving from point A to point B.
Let's talk about the child who's resistant. We don't want you to assume that this kind of a T-chart plan or having children understand how is only appropriate for kids who are cooperative. It's also helpful for children who are resistant. We may have to do a little bit more of the talking, but we can still require of a child to create ideas on a T-chart that are going to say, what are you going to do when you're faced with this problem? Again, if a child's having an anger problem and blames the problem on other people, it's not my fault, everybody else makes me angry, that child needs a plan. So you can say, here's what we're going to do. You have a problem with anger. You're faced with particular challenges. Those are real challenges. I say no to you, or I interrupt you from your game in order to have you follow an instruction. Those are real things that happen. And when those real things happen, you often get upset. And you need to have a plan for dealing with those. And so here's what I'd like you to do. You need to sit down and you need to think of three things that you're going to do that are going to help you when I say no to you so you don't have a meltdown. I want to know what those three things are. I want to know what you're going to say to yourself, what you're going to do that's going to help you to change. A child who's resistant may not be willing to work on it right away, and you might have to make it part of the discipline process by saying, look, you're not free to go and play with anything else or do anything until you are ready to work on this plan and come up with some reasonable ideas that you can try next time. It's still part of the plan. Even if a child's resistant, we're going to force them, in essence, to work through a plan like this. Hopefully, over time, children will break down that resistance because they'll have some strategies that they can use. They'll see them working, and they'll see a process for approaching these strategies that helps them ongoing in life. We want to work with children in a way that's going to help them make lasting changes, and the current situations that they're facing often provide opportunities to build patterns for the future as well. So requiring a child to develop a plan or to helping a child develop some answers to the question how is not optional. It's not just for kids who are cooperative. Even children who are resistant need to develop a plan, and we're going to teach them how to do that.
And this idea works with any age child. We can start it with young children. Certainly toddlers, preschoolers, we're teaching them in very simple terms how to be self-controlled. We practice self-control. We teach them how to be responsive to authority, and we teach them that Teaching new skills is very important with preschoolers. In fact, they learn a lot by practicing those new skills. And so the teaching component is key with young children. Let's walk through what this is going to look like in your life. Let's practice doing the right thing, coming when called, sitting still in a break. These are things that we may practice in and out and around our day to equip children. But older children as well really need the teaching component, whether it's elementary age children or teenagers. We got to do some teaching. And that's, again, through more dialogue and discussion and trying some new things. But whatever age your child is, the teaching component is key towards success to help our children have what they need to move forward.
Let me help you with a particular problem that I think sometimes parents have. And that has to do with the emotion that children have. Sometimes their emotion sets them off and makes kids unwilling to respond. And anytime you try to offer good nuggets of truth to them, they can resist those or they become emotional. Sometimes they become emotional and resistant. Sometimes their emotions are clouding their thinking, so they can't even think straight. They're just controlled by their emotions at the moment, and they're unwilling to listen to anything else. In those cases, we recommend a break. Now, a break is just simply the task of sitting down, calming down, and getting ready to come back for a debriefing. It's not really a timeout. We don't really like timeout. We don't feel like it's an appropriate biblical approach. It's often a sentence a child receives for a crime they've committed, and you're like the policeman that has to keep them there. But the break is different. The break helps a child settle their heart, and that heart needs to settle often before teaching can begin. So if your child is emotional, you may want to require a break. You may want to wait till the child settles down a bit. It'll make the process go a little bit smoother. Sometimes parents hang in there or they continue on even when the child's upset. And I don't think that's the way to maximize the opportunities that can be generated through this teach art or this teaching component as we teach kids how.
What we want to do is help children to have the strategies, to know what they need to be doing instead, and then practice those strategies. So we may have times where we're practicing coming when called with a young child, or we're going to have times of practicing or responding to an instruction with a good attitude. That becomes part of the teaching component as well, teaching the right response, but then practicing that right response, going through the motions so the child has that habit in view. They know what I should be doing. They're practicing the right thing. And then that will help them to develop the new patterns over time.
And I would suggest that the biblical word here is, goes beyond teaching. It's the word training. Training implies practicing. So we can teach children in words in a sit-down meeting with a teach-art, but that doesn't ensure that they're going to put them into practice in life. It often takes practice sessions in order to make that happen. So as you're working with your child, you might even set up some additional pressure points for your child so that your child can actually practice working on that particular problem. You might say to your child, I'm going to interrupt you several times in the next several minutes. And when I do, I want you to practice your response of saying, what, Mom? Or stopping your activity and looking at me. Whatever we've said is the how here. We want to practice. And many children need more practice sessions than life provides so that when the real session in life comes, that's like the final exam, children are able to go right through it and they're able to handle it because they've had these practice sessions at other points.
I think this is really helpful for kids, and it's often a step that parents don't really think about. So bringing this to light, thinking about how your child might begin to practice doing the right thing to develop a new skill. Same as if an athlete were developing a new skill, they'd have to practice that skill over and over again. And the same thing is true in life with our children. If they're developing a character quality, they have to practice doing that over and over again until it becomes more routine, more comfortable, more automatic a response. So those practice sessions can be set up sometimes as a consequence or sometimes just as what we're doing in life. We're going to practice having a good attitude, practice responding to instructions, practice cleaning up the room without being told every step along the way. Let's have those practice sessions so that children develop new skills in life.
Sometimes a parent will come and say, my child just isn't responding to me at all. He's disrespectful, won't listen to me. I say, how old is your child? And let's say he's five. I say, whoa, boy, we better start working on some things. And one of the very first things that we do is practice with a child in the instruction routine. 20 times a day for dad, 20 times a day for mom. We do training on following instructions. The child needs to be able to stop what he's doing, come when called. Then he needs to say, okay, mom, or okay, dad. He needs to do the job as if he's on a mission, and he needs to report back. We're going to practice that over and over again. When the child reports back, the parents affirm the child. When the child comes when called, there's affirmation there. And what we're trying to do is build some new tendencies in the child's heart. No matter where we are in the parenting process, children need to develop some new character. Character is a pattern of thinking and acting in response to a challenge. And so we want children to be able to think differently and act differently. And many times the training will help them do that. But it's going to take work. It takes extra work on the part of the parent because we have to set up those scenarios. We have to take the time out of our schedule to make it work. We have to do extra correction because sometimes children don't respond well. But the investment we do in the character building process through the training and teaching here pays huge dividends later on. Sometimes parents will say, I don't have enough time to do this. Well, the reality is the current situation that's going on in family life is draining the family of a lot of energy. It's draining the family of time and emotional energy. And so if we can focus on something for a little bit, put some extra time into it, then it will pay some good dividends and the children will change. It develops more cooperation or less tension in the family or whatever it might be. It's going to take work to do that. It takes practice sessions or training to make that happen.
A very important part of our parenting, though. Certainly, we want to be training our children. And those new responses may not come automatically unless they've been practiced. So taking the time out, looking for opportunities to do that, making that a part of your plan, as you develop a strategy to move that child from point A to point B, you want to think about, what's the teaching component necessary? How can we work practicing that new skill into life so the child is better prepared when the challenges come, better prepared with those new character traits when they need them?
One of the things you want to be careful of is your own emotion as a parent. Sometimes the parental intensity or anger gets in the way of a good teaching session. In order to do well in the teaching process, you have to have your heart right. So you might want to allow a pause between the time that you see the child doing the wrong thing and call the child out to correct the child. You might want to allow a little bit of a pause there for you to settle down your own emotions so that you can go into the situation with a positive attitude, a willingness to move forward. Especially if your child's negative or resistant, you want to be able to approach the situation continually in a way that demonstrates that you're going to be firm, you're going to hang in there, and there is a way to work that's successful in life, and I'm going to try to teach you what that is. But your positive approach can go a lot further than an angry response. So look for ways to settle your own heart down so you're not disciplining in anger, but you're pulling back so that you can teach how more effectively. You can help your child move forward in a good way. All of that will contribute to some significant goodwill in the process and can maximize the influence you have on your child's heart.
And so I think having that written action plan can be helpful for you as a parent so that it becomes more of an objective experience and we can remove some of the emotion out of the process. We've got a plan, it's written down, we know where we're going. When we see the problems arise, we can go back to our plan. And I think that just helps us as parents to stay on track.
So look at the teaching component. Try to figure out ways you're going to bring the new solutions to bear. You're still going to embrace the other components as you move forward, but this particular component adds a great dimension to a child's life. Sometimes it's just this component that connects with a child in a new way that they haven't been able to connect before. Instead of saying, stop doing something, now we're saying, do this going forward, and we're teaching you how. Children respond better to that. Good things can happen. Work on it, and we'll be back to see you in another session.
God is moving. Family.